All right, let's stand. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him, the King of kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise a song on high, the virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son. Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Nail's spear shall pierce him through, the cross he bore for me, for you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son. The first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the They look it up and saw a star shining in the east beyond them far. And to the earth it gave great light and so the King of Israel. And by the light of that same star, three wise men came from country far to seek for a king. Then let us all with one accord sing praises to our heavenly Lord that hath made heaven and earth. His blood mankind has bought. Noel, 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 Noel. Born is the King of Israel.
All right, you may be seated.
God has always, always desired companionship and friendship, a relationship. God has always desired a love given and a love returned to Him. God has always desired to live with us and for us to live with Him. And just pause for a minute and sort of soak that in, because you know you. You know you. And He loves you. And He loves you with all of your flaws and all of your falters. This is how He intended our relationship to be from the very beginning, when He walked with Adam and Eve and called them by name in the cool of the evening. From the Garden of Eden to the nation of Israel to the church of our own day, it has been human nature to take our eyes off the presence of God and to focus our eyes on ourselves and focus our eyes on our circumstances and desire the things of the world. For the nation of Israel, there came a time after hundreds of years of love and patience and correction and warning, that God said, okay. Okay, have it your way. Have the world that you want, but be warned. The world will have all of you as well. And there's an amazing passage in Ezekiel that describes God Almighty withdrawing Himself from the Holy of Holies, then from the temple, then from the land, and from His people. And in that place where there had been smoke and peals of thunder and lightning and radiance, there was just dark silence, emptiness. What a moment. And God whispers, Isaiah 40, verse 5, the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. Just a moment, just a word of hope in the silence. Haggai 2 says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. The desire of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, and in this place I will grant what? Peace. What's the greatest desire of every human heart? Peace. I will grant peace. Just a moment of hope, just a statement of hope in a world of darkness and emptiness and silence. The day was like many other days in the service of the priesthood. His priestly clan had fulfilled their rotation service at the temple many times before. There was no reason for any special excitement, and certainly for this man, there was no reason for any anticipation. This particular morning had come and gone without, again, his name being called. He watched now, as he's getting older, those younger have their names called and go in and out. And it seemed as though his once-in-a-lifetime chance had passed him by. But then the afternoon came. The afternoon came, and sort of like breaking out of the silence, he heard his name called, Zechariah. The lot had fallen to him. After all these years, seemingly after hope had drained, the lot had finally fallen to him. More than that, it wasn't for tending the candle. It wasn't for offering the meal offering. It wasn't even for assisting in the incense. But he was called to be the officiating priest for the offering incense of the evening. At least one of his dreams had come true after such a mundane life. At least one of his hopes would be fulfilled, and he could go home as an old man, having been touched. He prepared all afternoon, and he watched as worshipers gathered in the temple courtyard, and as the time drew near, he walked with his assistants to the holy place, and he stood at the altar before the Holy of Holies as the assistants withdrew themselves. And there he was alone. This was clearly a place not intended for a man. But this was a place that was intended for the presence of God to dwell. This was a place where, in the past, long, long ago, man had encountered the glory of the Lord. But it had long since grown silent and dark. He put the incense onto a silver spoon, and he repeated the prayers very carefully, making sure to say them perfectly. Keenly aware, somewhere, there was a holy and righteous God listening to every word. He repeated the prayers for the redemption of Israel. He repeated the prayers for the fulfillment of everything Israel had ever hoped for. He repeated the prayers for a Messiah. And those were the words that he was speaking. This was a somber moment. It's a sober moment. It's a sullen moment. And he poured the coals onto the altar. And as they glowed, he covered them with a finely ground powder of spices mixed with frankincense. And as the smoky perfume rose high, a faint breeze touches his neck. And for a moment, he feels certain he's not alone in this place. Something extraordinary is about to happen. He saw an eternal image, and terror gripped him. I wonder what he was thinking. What would you be thinking in that moment, in that place, in that time? Did he think that he had done something wrong? Did he think that he had said something out of order or left a phrase or two out? Did he think that he was about to die there? Did his mind even have the time to wander back to the stories that had been told, the stories that he had read of the days when God's presence filled the temple so many hundreds of years before? Zechariah, your prayer has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to give him the name John. And he will go on before the Lord. In the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of righteousness. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Could it be that after hundreds of years of silence, the Lord was coming? That silence was about to be shattered? Was the Messiah really about to be revealed? Was the glory of the Lord returning? The first recorded appearance of the Shekinah glory in the New Testament is recorded for us in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. Luke 2, 8 through 12 reads like this. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. Very important word, nearby. Keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Amen. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ. He is the Anointed One. He is the Anointed One. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Sheep that were kept for stock or for slaughter were in the marketplace. They were in town or on the fringe of the town. Other sheep were kept nearby, outside of the town. Most likely, these very sheep are the ones appointed to be the sacrificial lambs used in the temple. They were kept near the town, but kept on a free range so that they would not be marred. No stocks and pens and things that could hurt them, posts, no people, no dirt. They were to be unscratched, unbruised, unblemished. I believe these are the sacrificial sheep. And I believe these are the shepherds who have been given the great responsibility to watch the sheep to be sacrificed at the temple. An angel, a host of angels, appeared. But understand this, that they are not the glory of the Lord. They were surrounded by the glory of the Lord. Brilliance, brightness. I wonder, my mind drifts. Was there thunder? Was there lightning? Was there a noise as often accompanies the Shekinah glory? The shepherds, think about this, with that great responsibility, leave the sacrificial sheep. The shepherds leave these sheep in the field and with great excitement run to find the Christ. They run to find the Messiah, the Anointed One. They run to find the sacrificial lamb I believe that the most beautiful words in Luke chapter 2 are, I will bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. All the people. The glory of the Lord was finally breaking through, finally returning, finally appearing. The Messiah, God, coming home. Coming home. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 32, read like this. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him into his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. In what? Peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Remember what Isaiah said? The glory of the Lord will be revealed and all mankind together will see it. Well, under the Roman Empire, all mankind was gathered together. People from every place, every nation, every tongue gathered together. And there in the midst, in this tiny little place, Savior had been born. Simeon said, which you have prepared in sight of all the people. Simeon's last words, a light for revelation, thank God Almighty, to the Gentiles. To the Gentiles. And for the glory to your people, Israel. Prophecies come true. Prophecies are promises kept. God returning not only to his people, not just for a family or a nation, but all families and all nations. 2,000 years later, on the other side of the globe, you and I are in this place. The same time, together. All people. All people. Not only that, but he was returning to his purpose to redeem all mankind, Gentiles included. Imagine that. Into companionship, into friendship, to fellowship, into relationship, love given and love returned. There's a beautiful moment in the life of Jesus, an anxious one. For the guardians of the Messiah. My wife and I owned a company called Bella Events and Conferences. And we traveled all over the nation hosting events, coordinating events. And events for people can be very taxing, can be very stressing. Take a look at my wife today as she walks around with her banquet downstairs and look at her. She's a little stressed, okay? We had children. Children can be taxing. Stressing. We were traveling. Traveling! It's very stressful. There was this moment when we were late for our flight. And we were running through the airport. And I had luggage over my shoulder and dragging a suitcase behind me. And my little daughter had her hand wrapped around my little finger. Joanne is pushing the stroller and she's pulling a bag behind her. And she has a bag on her shoulder. And all of a sudden she stops. And she says, "Where's Gianni? Where is Gianni?" And we all stopped and looked at her, and my heart was racing. Like, what? What? I'm like, "He's in the stroller." And she looks over and pulls the flap back. And she starts melting down there in the middle of the airport. We're like, no, we got to go. Let's go. We have no time for crying. I'm sorry you thought you lost the baby, but you didn't. He's fine. His parents had taken him to a feast at the temple in Jerusalem. Millions of people congregated in Jerusalem and came to the temple in rotation day after day for the feast. After 3 days, they started for home with the large group they had come with from their region, because that is what people did. They traveled in these large packs. And can you imagine the conversation? "Do you have the Messiah?" "No, I thought you had the Messiah." "No, I watched him last night. Today was your shift. Where's the Messiah?" You know, "I don't know where he's at. How'd you lose the Messiah?" "Don't blame me. She's the one you gave me." You know, I mean, the whole thing starts over again. So they start scouring, and they find him in the temple courts. And this young boy, is sitting with the teachers, these rabbis, where he is amazing them with what he knows of the scriptures, as if he wrote them himself. And only as a mother can say, Mary says, "Where have you been? We've been looking all over for you. Do you know how worried you made us?" And Jesus responds in Luke 2:49. Just grasp this moment. "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be?" "Had to be in my Father's house." I mean, where else would I be? "I've come home. I'm home." It's interesting because we've come full circle here. Israel first sees the Shekinah glory of the Lord revealed while coming out of Egypt and at the foot of Mount Sinai. What festival? What festival are Joseph, Mary, and Jesus celebrating? Passover. Full circle, from Passover to Passover, "I've come home." Not only is he returning to his people, not only is he returning to his purpose, not only is he returning to his proper place, place of fellowship and worship, but he's home. There's a comfort here. There's a marriage ceremony. The coming together of two minds and two hearts, two lives. It's a commitment to a relationship. Actually, it's a covenant. It's a covenant, and not just between two people, but a covenant with God. When you're getting married as a believer, you are getting married to each other, but you are in covenant with God. As with all wedding ceremonies, no matter how well you plan, how many of you got stressed over your wedding ceremony? Some of you should have your hands up. A couple. Something always goes wrong. It's never perfect. As we get older, we edit those things out of our memories. My wife and I had a very large wedding, and we had flowers everywhere. There were flowers everywhere. And we were supposed to have these two bouquets of roses just overflowing with all sorts of other flowers, and At one point in time when we had lit the candle, we were going to go down and take each bouquet of roses and give one to my mother and one to her mother. But the florist never put them there. She forgot them. And we hadn't noticed. So we lit the candle. We turned around and we walked down the platform and started searching. Hearts start racing. So I went up to my mother-in-law. Joanna went to my mom. But I went up to my mother-in-law and she wanted to give me a kiss. And it was an awkward moment. And I stuck out my hand and I'm shaking my hand with my, you know, nice to meet you. And we actually had met once before, but that didn't go well either. So. No flowers. There's this wedding. Something goes wrong. They run out of wine. Probably wedding crashers. I hate those people. Who knows? But Jesus turns water into wine. And it's not just good wine. It's the best wine. The best wine anyone had ever tasted. See, he sets cultural tradition on its head. He performs a miracle. Listen very carefully to John chapter 2, verse 11. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. Disciples believed in him, it says. The Greek word we translate reveal means to make visible. I mean, he made visible his glory. It made it clear. It made it obvious. The glory of God, which was hidden by the assumption of human nature, the glory of God which had been veiled by flesh, veiled in flesh, was beginning to be made clear. Through these miracles, and this was the first. Peter, James, and John might have had the best picture, the clearest picture. This moment is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke chapter 9, verses 27 through 36, read like this. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste of death before they see the kingdom of God. In about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy. These guys are always sleeping on the job. These three are always sleeping. If they worked for me, they'd have been fired. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. Matthew says in Matthew 17, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. Mark records in Mark 9, his garments became radiant and exceedingly white, as no launderer on earth can whiten them. This is otherworldly. Jesus, as he is, was revealed to them. The presence of God in human form was unveiled. Unveiled before them. Just before Jesus demonstrates his power, even over death and the grave, in the lives of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he says an amazing thing to his disciples. And it's recorded in John 11:40. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" If you believed. If you believed, you would see. Not the other way around. Believe first. If you believed, you would see the glory of God. Lazarus, come out! Lazarus, who was dead, is now alive. He's now alive. Just amazing. The presence of Almighty God returned to his people. The presence of Almighty God returned to his place. The presence of Almighty God returned to his purpose. And the presence of Almighty God returned with power. Fantastic power. Even over death itself. This is what you find if you do a word study of the word glory in the New Testament. Is it any coincidence that in the life of Christ, the word glory is used in these specific contexts? Think about it. In a field where sacrificial lambs were being kept. Think about it. In the temple, the dwelling place of God, where God and men meet. Think about it. At a marriage ceremony, love given, love returned, covenant. Think about it. On a mountaintop, with Moses and Elijah. Think about it. The moment life bursts forth from the grave. I think it's no coincidence. No coincidence that the glory of the Lord is seen in these very, very moments. Listen to his beloved disciple John in John 1. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That word dwelling is interesting. It's skenoo in Greek. It is the parallel word for the Hebrew word Shekinah. It means much more than a place to live or a place to dwell. There's a whole other Greek word for the simple dwelling. It means to tabernacle. Maybe some of your translations say the word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Tabernacle. Why would John use that word? Remember the tabernacle in the desert? What did they see there? They saw the glory of the Lord, radiant. They heard the glory of the Lord. Thunderous. They felt the glory of the Lord quaking at that tabernacle in the desert. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. It is good news of great joy for all people. All people. If only Christmas was treated as if it was more than one day a year. He wanted companionship. He wanted friendship. He wanted a relationship. He wanted a love given and a love returned. He wanted to live with us and for us to live with Him. But just like their ancestors of 500 years earlier, and just like every human being I've ever known, including myself, the nation of Israel wanted something else. The nation of Israel wanted Jesus not as a destination, but as a means to an end. The nation of Israel wanted Jesus to change their circumstances. And when it became clear that He had not come to do what they wanted Him to do, they were disillusioned and they rejected Him. John 1, 10 through 11 says, He was in the world. And though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. As we go downstairs today and as we celebrate the return of the glory of the Lord, this year, as you go into the season, focus your mind. Focus your mind. Discipline your mind and your family to celebrate the glory of the Lord and not the glory of the world. For He did not come to change your circumstances. Praise God Almighty. He came. He lived. He died. And He rose again.